At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, what's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing? Good weekend?
I keep banging my head up against the 60% ceiling in millions, and I just cannot get over that.
You know what my favorite thing is?
Oh, it's so infuriating.
You know what my favorite thing is about bettors? When you ask them how their weekend is, it's always just a response of what their betting was. Like, how are you, Gil? How are you in life? That's what I want to know.
Wait a minute. What?
That's what we want to know.
I didn't even consider that.
Don't you love that, though? You have casual relationships with friends who are bettors, and you're like, and those people, you don't really care about how their weekend was, they answer betting-wise.
But how are you doing? I hadn't really considered that. When I reattach to my life, I'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you doing? How was your weekend?
I'm doing good, man. I'm exhausted. Long NBA, all that was awesome. It was a lot of fun, but then, long weekend.
Can I tell you a story right off the top?
Yeah.
The difference between the Warriors and the Lakers. Warriors, it's such a metaphor for the Bay Area versus L.A., Hollywood. When the Warriors won their third championship, I think they did this more than once, but I was at Carbone when they won their third. They had the parade in Oakland. They flew, and they had dinner at Carbone.
I forgot about that.
And everybody's coming through the front. I fist bumped Draymond, Matt Barnes, JaVale McGee. I think that was the third or their fourth. Right through the front door, right? Everyone but Steph. Steph, I don't think Aisha let him come. The Lakers win the inaugural in-season tournament. I'm also at Carbone. We never see them. They're inside the restaurant as well. Why? Because the Lakers are too Hollywood. They come through the service entrance through the back.
Or they put them in that back room or something and close it off?
We never saw them, and we're in the same restaurant. And the bartenders are like rolling their eyes like, this is perfect that no one can see them. Everyone was so excited to see them. Nobody saw them.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Even a whiff of them. Okay, today on the show, week 15 guessing lines. Yes, we try to extract value in the upcoming week's NFL lines. We'll try to do that. I guess my sentiment every week is when I feel good about it, I do well. When I don't feel good about it, I don't do as well. We'll see how we feel about these coming up. Also want to recommend 3 bets during this show as well. One is to make the playoffs. A couple are to win division bets, which are long shot numbers. Ooh. And with 4 weeks left in the year, with this little of a runway remaining, this is about where these kind of end. This is your last shot at them. We'll have Aaron Schatz on this week, the quarter poll. Because after this, it's such a small sample size that the value is kind of eliminated entirely. Maybe an exception here or there.
Yeah, I look at it like the same way a lot with my live betting too. It's just like you're running out of runway to allow yourself to get bets to get home. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Let's talk Circus Survivor, of course, at first, which we do each and every guessing lines. We are down to, and this is at the moment, because 7 people have the Packers tonight. 1 person has the Dolphins. So right now we are at, you ready for this, Kelly? 21. 9 of the 30 that entered this week were eliminated. 8, as we found out after the fact, were on the Steelers on Thursday night. 1 was on the Detroit Lions. So we're down to 21. So with 8 still pending tonight, eight still pending tonight, the intrinsic value of the 21 remaining.
Give it to me.
$441,285.71.
Whew.
Our own Adam Burke is through. He had the Browns. The entry that he is a part of had the Browns. Adam Burke says to me yesterday through text, he said, they've let me down for 37 years of my life. Finally, one day they didn't, was his exact quote.
That's a good point. I forgot about it being from Cleveland team. And that being his team. That's great.
Paul Howard is one of the folks on the Packers tonight. So again, right at this moment, 21 still alive. But again, eight pending tonight. We wish everybody good luck in getting through. Again, $441,285.71. Oh boy, you have any plays on tonight's game?
I have plays in both for circa millions.
Me too.
I didn't bet either one of them though.
I bet the Packers, but I have the Dolphins and the Packers in millions.
We're heads up in the other one. I took the points of the Giants.
Did you?
Yeah,
okay.
Dolphins and Giants for the contest. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's start. Now, here's how this works again. We go through every game. We'll talk about yesterday's games, but with an eye towards this coming week's games. I guess what the line is going to be. I don't know what they are. Kelly will tell me what the consensus number is. Within that process, we hope to find value and trigger some bets. And again, some futures plays here along the way as well. What is first, sir? Thursday.
Oh, that's first, baby.
That's first. Here's the thing. I actually remembered this last week. Breaking a DiMaggio-like streak of not remembering.
And then I forgot the one for college.
Yes, and you forgot the one for college.
All right, Thursday night, Chargers at Raiders.
Oh, God. 5-8 Chargers, 5-8 Raiders. They're both donezo. The Chargers lose to the Broncos. I had the Chargers yesterday, and any hope I had was quickly extinguished in this game for multiple reasons. First of all, early in the game, this really just describes the Chargers' season. After a Chargers punt early in the game, first and 10 at their own 9 for the Broncos. First play, Wilson picked by Michael Davis. Then the Chargers get nothing out of it. From the they get to 4th and 3 at the Denver 6. They have 1st and 10 inside the red zone. They get to 4th and 3 at the Denver 6. They fail to convert. Denver then punts. The Chargers are pinned deep in their own territory. And, of course, that doesn't work out for them. 3rd and 7 at their own 12. Herbert picked by Jonathan Cooper. Same thing happening, except this time Javonte in from 3, 7-0 Denver. 4:55 left in the first quarter. That's really kind of all you have to know about these Los Angeles Chargers. From there, it was a punt for Chargers, punt for Denver, punt for Chargers. By the way, that Chargers punt went 83 yards from J.K. Scott.
Oh, that was awesome.
Tied for the longest in the NFL in the last 10 years. Another Denver punt. Then the Chargers end up 4th and 2 at the Denver 29, trying to tie up this game. They go for it. Herbert incomplete, intended for Alex Erickson. But the big story on that play is that Herbert hurts his index finger in his throwing hand, never to return, and we find out it is fractured. He could be out the rest of the season, and I think I speak on behalf of everybody when I say, why don't you just take a seat? What's the point?
Oh, yeah. This is,
maybe
unlike some of the other injuries we've seen this year, you're 5-8 now. You're toast. You're done. Sit down the rest of the
year. How quickly after the season ends, like the moment that the clock goes to 0-0, do you think the Spanos family goes, you're fired. Brandon Staley, you're fired. Quicker than Josh Harris with Ron Rivera?
I would like to think that, but, man, we've thought that so many times already that they were going to do it.
Even those of us who hope for the best for Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
By the way, after Denver 3-and-out, Easton Stick came in the game. 3rd and 7 at their own 27 for the Chargers. Stick, feeling no pressure whatsoever, was hit by Jaquan McMillan. Was ruled incomplete after what some thought was a fumble, scoop, and score. At least that was ruled on the field. Broncos end up with a field goal, 10-0 at the half. You don't really need to know any more other than the Broncos got it to 17-0. The Chargers had a cosmetic touchdown later in the game, but the final score was 24-7 in favor of the Broncos. There was nothing to see here, literally, after Herbert left this game. Yeah. Even when Herbert was in, it was kind of not really must-see TV, but certainly when he left. Herbert ended up 9-17 for 96. Stick, 13-24 for 179 in defeat. The Raiders against the Vikings. You thought that was bad? How about this? 3-0 Vikings. They win it. Here's your first half. Vegas punt, Minnesota three and out. Vegas punt, Minnesota punt. Vegas three and out, Minnesota. Joseph misses a 49-yard field goal attempt. Vegas three and out, Minnesota punt. Vegas end of half. First time since October 3rd, 1988, that two games on the same day went to half scoreless. By the way, the Jets game being the other. Josh Dobbs. I am man enough to admit I might have been wrong about Josh Dobbs. 5 of 11 at the half for 40 yards. By the way, the Raiders were out total yarding the Vikings at halftime, 96-88. Oh, and oh, by the way, insult to injury, or I should say injury to insult, Justin Jefferson, chest injury on his second reception. Dobbs barely got to play with him. He would not return.
Sounds like he'll be okay, though, long term.
Yes, it does. It continued with the punts, by the way. Both teams back and forth. This was an underfest. Unlike the Jets game, by the way, where I think a lot of people tried the underfest and then it came back to bite them.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can't get too glib about this where it's like, oh, you should have made tons on it.
Right.
Well, some of the people who made tons on this got crushed on the Jets game. Anyway, bottom line is Dobbs benched finally in the fourth quarter for Nick Mullins. Dobbs just doesn't see the field at all. Like, whoa. Can you be that bad after you were...
It checks one place and then looks to run. It's every time.
Minnesota starts out at their own 26 with 5:19 to go. They matriculate. 2 minutes to go. This is with Nick Mullins now. They get a Joseph 36-yard field goal. 3-0 Minnesota. Finally points. Vegas, first play from their own 25. O'Connell picked by Ivan Pace Jr. So everybody who's bet this ATS is like, oh boy, Minnesota can cover this. Then in a decision significant to some, they decide to pooch punt it with 18 seconds left rather than kick a field goal. And it ends up 3-0, and that's a push for a lot of folks. O'Connell, 21 of 32 for 170, minus 3 in turnovers, but that didn't lead to any Vikings points either.
I know.
That's how bad that was. The teams combined, bottom line, for 17 punts in the lowest scoring NFL game since 2007. And so since it's not Herbert and it's Stick, Vegas is going to be favored, I'll say, by a field goal, just because.
Yes, exactly. 3 at draft.
Because what else could it be?
Yeah. Feels like another Thursday night that I'll be fine not watching much of this game.
Yeah. Wish there were NBA in-season tournament games that day.
No, there'll still be NBA games that night. Yeah. I'll be watching over it.
We do have Saturday games, right?
We do. Oh, we have 3 Saturday
games.
Saturday games. Yeah.
Let's do that next. Saturday games on the other side. Trying to extract value. And we have some futures bets. I got some futures bet suggestions. See how you like these. One's a division again, and one's to make the playoffs, and 2 are division long shots. 4 weeks left in the regular season. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here are 3 reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in 2 strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Barcanada here at the D. If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. Become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from NCI95 Gambler, North Carolina I-95 Gambler. Had my best NFL betting Sunday thanks to the guys I listened to. Gil, I think that's Sammy P, and yep. Fezzik even won my local NFL pool. I'm glad you gleaned something from me this week.
Yeah, nice.
Of all the weeks of the year. Yeah.
What'd you take away?
I'm glad. Congratulations to you. Steven Vegas, as a Bills fan, I love that Hamlin was able to come back, but Bills are only keeping him on the team for service time. When the season is over, he's available for NFL pension for Buffalo for clap emojis for Buffalo for doing the right thing. But he's not comeback player of the year. Who is now? Maybe Flacco? 38-year-old Joe Flacco is a fascinating Ooh. Story. He's 100-1 at DraftKings right now. We haven't talked about this for weeks. We didn't talk about that. We weren't going to talk about it. But comeback player of the year just started to get so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because you have no idea what the bettors in any award are thinking their criteria is or what you know their criteria to be, let alone this one. But that's... Would you throw some shekels on that?
I don't hate it.
I just think it's still Hamlin.
But I could be wrong. This is where we constantly talk about. It's just so hard to compare all these cases to each other. I think the biggest problem with Flacco is when you're going to go to compare him to other players not coming back from a devastating, DeMar Hamlin did. The problem is we're going to go to compare them. He's only going to have played, five, six games, right? That's what it's going to end up being for him. So I guess the question is, is that enough?
And if he has one bad game, it's over.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I guess the question is that enough? And then how many bad games can he have? Is it just one?
Cleveland, in case you missed it, though, Kevin Stefanski did name Joe Flacco the starter for the rest of the season for the Browns, who are on the inside of the AFC playoff picture. All right, let's try to get to all Saturday games here. What do we got?
All right, Saturday, this is 1 Eastern kick, Vikings at Bengals.
Love that we have Saturday NFL.
Oh,
love. Josh Dobbs, by the way, 10 of 23 for 63. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 5 times. Honestly, have you ever seen a guy that just all of a sudden is this bad? Maybe you have. I just don't know what. Like, sometimes I'm like, I look over at O'Connell, and he's like, does he not see...
I still don't understand there clearly was some disconnect between the front office and O'Connell with even bringing him in the first place, considering he wanted to bench him after game one.
Yeah, apparently I got that one wrong.
Yeah, he's falling back to earth.
Mullins, 9 of 13 for 83. Again, they were +3 in turnovers. Those turnovers led to 0 points in their 3-0 win over the Raiders. By the way, Kelly sent me this stat just now. This is this puts it in context as well. NFL teams, Janik Eckhart, shout out to Janik Eckhart on this. NFL teams since 2008, now 1-255-2 when they score 3 or fewer points. That one was that. And then there's Cincinnati. Both of these teams, by the way, so we just had a game between 2-5-8 teams, the Chargers and the Raiders. This is a game between 2-7-6 teams in their respective conferences, Minnesota at Cincinnati. Cincinnati had to win this game against Indianapolis twice after a trade of a 3-and-outs, then an Indianapolis punt. Browning to Chase Brown. What a find he is for 54, 7-0 Cincinnati. Then Matt Gay couldn't get it right in a day where, like, field goals and extra points were missed left and right yesterday. Literally, Gay misses a 38-yard field goal try. Cincinnati matriculates into field goal range. They were gifted a first down on a leverage call that led to a mix-in 1-yard score. They got it to 14-0. But then Indianapolis came back. 17-play, 78-yard drive. Minshew to Ali Cox, 2-yard touchdown. Matt Gay missed the point after touching a 14-6. But then with 1:56 left in the second quarter, second play following the drive for Cincinnati, Browning was picked by Ronnie Harrison Jr. to the house. 2-point conversion good. And it was 14-14 at the half somehow. And then the second half happened, and Cincinnati just dominated in all 3 phases of the game. They went 75 yards on 6 plays, Browning to Tanner Hudson from 11 out, 21-14. Indianapolis punt. Cincinnati got it to 4th-and-1 at the Indianapolis 3. Mixon for 2. 2 plays later, Browning in from 1, 28-14. They'd go on to win it 31-14, but not before Browning himself got hurt and A.J. McCarron had to come in. By the way, Indianapolis had one last gasp in this game. They had a 1st-and-goal to Cincinnati 10. They turned that into 2nd-and-goal at the 25, courtesy of a hold, incomplete, and a false start. Minshew picked by B.J. Hill. That was as close as the Colts would ever get. 34-14, the final. Browning, 18 of 24 for 275. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was not sacked. He has the highest completion percentage, Kelly, 79%, through the first 3 starts through his first three starts, minimum 75 pass attempts since 1950. That courtesy of ESPN Stats and Information. How about that?
Wild.
Think they're alive to get in the playoffs? You think that?
I mean, I want to be the guy that says, let's all be cautious. This can't keep working out this way. But you know, so far it is. So, yeah. I mean, do they have the – of course they have the pieces around them. This team was built around a quarterback, right, to succeed on the offense. So
this will not technically be an elimination game, but it's de facto elimination game between Minnesota and Cincinnati, again, in their respective conferences. I will say Cincinnati minus 4.5. Knowing the Vikings' troubles at Q.
Bengals minus 4. Minus 4.
Okay. Next.
So yeah, close.
Next.
All right. 4:30 Eastern, Steelers at Colts.
All right. We don't have to say much about this. We already talked about the Steelers on Friday. Steelers 7-6. The Colts 7-6. How about this? Colts in defeat in that game against the Bengals. Minshew 26 of 39 for 240. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked three times. I will say the Colts by is either 2.5 or 3. I'll say 3.
2.5.
Okay. All right.
All right. 8:15 Eastern Saturday night. Broncos at Lions.
The Broncos are 7-6. You have six teams in the AFC that are 7-6.
That's wild.
People love the Broncos. I'm sorry. Still don't see it.
I'm with you.
7-6. People love Sean. They want to canonize Sean Payton. I don't see it. 7-6 at the Detroit Lions. Boy, oh boy, the Lions. They're 9-4. The Lions lose. We already talked about the Broncos. The Lions lose to the Bears. Bears took the opening drive, 69 yards on 8 plays. DJ Moore in from 16, 7-0 Bears. Detroit punts. Chicago. Santos, 46-yard field goal. Set up in part by Fields to Darnell Mooney, 28-yard hookup with a 15-yard unnecessary roughness tacked on. Alex Anzalone, 10-0. 1:22 left in the first quarter. 4th and 10. Detroit, 4th and 10 at the Chicago 35. They go for it. Goff picked by Jalen Johnson. Bears then stopped on downs themselves, though. 4th and 1 of the Detroit 38. Moore, no gain. And then Detroit goes 62 yards, 8 plays, including Goff to Peoples-Jones for 17. And on 4th and 3 of the Chicago 38, Gibbs, that was on 4th and 3 of the Chicago 38, pardon me. Gibbs eventually in from 12, 10-6 Chicago, because Riley Patterson missed the PAT. What a horrible kicking day in the NFL yesterday. 6:59 left in the second quarter. After Chicago 3-and-out, Detroit then goes 53 yards and 11 plays. We forget that Detroit took the lead here. Goff to Reynolds from 8 out, 13-10. That would be the halftime score in favor of Detroit. But then the second half, Detroit 3-and-out, Santos 25-yard field goal to tie it up at 13 apiece. 8:39 left in the third quarter. Then another Detroit 3-and-out, followed by Chicago 3-and-out, followed by Detroit 3-and-out. Chicago 4th and 13 at the Detroit 38. This after a play on third down where I have no idea how they didn't call intentional grounding on Justin Fields. Yet they didn't. 4th and 13 at Detroit 38. That, by the way, is ruled so inconsistently.
Yeah, it drives us insane.
Quarterback falling down. Is his knee down? No, he gets rid of it. But, yes, if he gets rid of it, where is he throwing it to?
Yeah. Yep.
They're like, oh, Cole Kmet was in the
it's always me and you bring it up all the time, but it's grounding and it's the uncatchable pass. Yeah. Like, sometimes they just whiff on these so badly.
So on 4th and 13, Fields, free play because Detroit jumps offside, to Moore for 38, touchdown. 19-13 Chicago. Santos's PAT was blocked. Second play ensuing drive, then Graham Glasgow fumbles for Detroit, recovered by T.J. Edwards. Chicago set up the Detroit 29, 5 plays. Fields in from 11, touchdown, 2-point conversion. Fields at 25-13 at this point, early fourth quarter. 4th and 1 at their own 34 for Detroit. Dan Campbell doing the old Brandon Staley thing and not taking nearly as much guff as Brandon Staley used to. He just completely ruins these games for the Lions. Gibbs, 4-yard loss. That sets up a Santos 28-yard field goal, 28-13 with 9:20 to go, and Detroit would then just turn it over on downs on one possession subsequent to that, and then Goff would get picked on another one. 28-13 is how it would end. Goff, 20 of 35 for 161. Detroit only had 13 first downs, and they were outgained 336 to 267. They were minus 3 in turnovers. That led to plus 6 Chicago net points. The Detroit Lions ain't good, man. We'll get to a division thought here later, but it's the 9-4 Lions hosting the Broncos. I'll say Lions by 3.5.
It is Lions 4 right now. Lions minus 4 at DraftKings. No idea how my over didn't get home in that game.
It's one of these where I'm, like, tempted to take the Lions, though. Because they are, because of those fourth down calls, they're very volatile, right?
Yes.
And if it's volatile to the good, they should be able to cover that.
There are a lot of 3.5s out there. I was just going to go look at that. I'm wondering if there's going to be Denver money this week.
Yeah, I'll wait. I'm not rushing to do that.
Three, I'm with you. I'm betting Lions.
Interesting game in Detroit. Those objects in your rearview mirror are getting closer. More guessing lines next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Let us continue moving on to Sunday now, week 15. God, can you believe it? All right, I think I'm contractually obligated to say this now. Can you believe we're at week 15?
It's wild, man. It's flying by.
It's amazing. Week really 15.
Is. All right, one Eastern, Bears at Browns.
Bears at Browns. We just talked about the Bears in victory. Fields, 19 of 33 for 223, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked three times, 12 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown. And again, Chicago held Detroit to 13 first downs and outgained the Lions. Vaunted offense, 336 to 267. They were plus three in turnovers, 0-3. Led to plus six Chicago net points. Cleveland Browns, we talked about Joe Flacco a little earlier. Cleveland against Jacksonville. Browns took the opening drive. 75 yards, six plays. Flacco to a wide open Njoku from 34, 7-0 Cleveland. Then the teams traded three and outs, then a Jacksonville punt, then a trade of three and outs again, then another Jacksonville punt. Cleveland then goes 72 yards in four plays. Flacco to Njoku for 30. Why is my voice doing that? 14-0 Cleveland. 13:40 left second quarter. First play ensuing drive. Lawrence picked deep by Martin Emerson Jr. Okay, so Cleveland's up 14-0. A lot of strange games yesterday, but this is one of those where you're like, okay, Cleveland's going to blow them out. Cleveland refused to blow them out. Cleveland matriculates, but 3rd-and-4 of the Jacksonville 37, Flacco picked by Darius Williams. Jags would have to punt, but the first play ensuing drive, 1st-and-10 their own 5, Flacco to Amari Cooper for 19. He's tackled by Andrew Wingard. He fumbles, and finally, Jacksonville's like, okay. Recovered by Devin Lloyd. They're set up at the Cleveland 12. Two plays later, Lawrence to Evan Engram from 10 out. 14-7 Cleveland, 6:14 left second quarter. And the game would kind of go like this. Cleveland would take a 2-touchdown lead. Jacksonville would cut it to 7. After Cleveland 3 and out, Jacksonville gets it to 1st-and-10 at the Cleveland 24. They're knocking at the door to tie this. Lawrence picked by Martin Emerson Jr. again. 1:47 left in the second quarter. That would be the halftime score. At halftime, Flacco had thrown for 212 yards.
Boom.
And a 266 to 129 total yards advantage for Cleveland. Yet they're only up 14-7. Third quarter, opening drive, third play, 3rd-and-21 at their own 14. Lawrence to Parker Washington, hit by Anthony Walker Jr., fumbles recovered by Walker. Cleveland set up at the Jacksonville 22. Seven plays in, Hunt in from 4, 21-7 Cleveland. This team, both of these teams were like, here, go ahead, take it. After Jacksonville 3-and-out, 2nd-and-10 for Cleveland at their own 33. Flacco sacked by Antonio Johnson. Fumbles. Jeremiah Ledbetter recovers. Jacksonville set up at the Cleveland 25. This game took forever because of all this. Six plays in. Etienne in from 1, 21-14 Cleveland. 4:59 left in the third quarter. Then after a Cleveland punt, Lawrence picked deep by Greg Newsome. 3rd-and-1 from their own 15. Cleveland set up at the Jacksonville 48. Four plays later, Flacco to David Bell from 41 out. Wide open. Touchdown. 28-14 Cleveland. Like, okay, all Cleveland backers like, cool. Easy peasy, right? 12:34 to go. Then Jacksonville goes 75 yards, nine plays, because of course they do. Lawrence to Parker Washington from 19 out, 28-21 Cleveland. Cleveland eventually punts, and Jacksonville then stopped on downs. Cleveland set up at the Jacksonville 38. They're up 7 with 3:30 to go. They get a Hopkins 55-yard field goal to go up 10, 31-21. And now you're like, of course Jacksonville's going to get the ball now and push this game. 9 plays, 75 yards. Lawrence to Ingram from 2 out. 31-27, 1:33 to go, Kelly. And the Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson, maybe the only team in the league that would do this, maybe decide to go for 2. We've seen the 14-8, and then they go for 2 to get it to 6. We've sort of established that now that people kind of get that. Not everyone loves it, but people get that it's a normal thing. I don't think we've ever seen the 4-2 before. I could be wrong. By the way, on the two-point conversion, Lawrence is sacked. Onside kick fails. There's your ball game. The people have had the 3.5. Either way, that was an unbelievable occurrence. The Browns cover. Jacksonville does not because of that failed two-point attempt. Now, before we get to the guess here, well, Flacco, by the way, 311 yards in this game, 26 of 45. Named the starter for the rest of the season. Njoku, 6 for 91, 2 touchdowns, 7 turnovers in this game. 4 for Jacksonville, 3 for Cleveland. Let's get to that decision in a minute. Cleveland minus 3.5, I'll say, hosting Chicago.
Yep, dead on.
Bam. Do you like that decision to go for 2 down 4? 1:33 left.
So I think what the way you just described the 14 when you're 14 down, I am so on board with that one now. This one, I get it. I don't know if I like it.
I think that's fair. So
I don't know that I have a huge problem with it. I guess is my point. But yeah, it affected a lot of things yesterday.
The analytics, well, I'm trying to say, what's the easiest way to try to convince people that, and I'm not trying to convince you to like this, but I'm trying to give the analytics argument for this.
Yeah.
So the 8-6, one of the ways that you can describe that, and a lot of people go to that, well, you want to know, you want to have the information. And you do want to have the information in the 8-6. You want to know if you can win the game. You want to know if you'll need a touchdown and a 2 at the end. You just want to, there's that. But the way that there's a way to describe it as the difference between the 8 and the 7 is less than the difference between the 7 and the 6.
Right.
When it comes to football scoring. I think we understand that. Because 8 and 7 is still one score. Yes, one involves a 2-point conversion, one doesn't. And the 6 is you just win the football game. So we're talking about win probability, right? In the same way, the difference between the 4 and the 3 is less than the difference between the 3 and the 2, but that's a little more counterintuitive, right? Because if there was 20 seconds left in the game, I would argue you don't do this.
Correct.
Because if you recover the onside kick, you have so little time that you'd have to kick the field goal to extend it to overtime.
Yeah, this one is even more time-dependent in my mind than the 14-point one.
It's just one of these things where you have to sort of convince yourself, I don't know what's going to happen in overtime. I want perfect information. This is the analytically correct thing to do. But I am with you, Kelly, in that I don't like it nearly as much as the 8-6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, it had betting implications, huge ones. And there you go.
I mean, especially when I do think this is where, and I know where this is where the coaches struggle a lot with this stuff. You do have to take game flow into the account, I think, a little bit. And, man, with how much – it's not like these offenses were moving the ball easily up and down the field. You know what I mean?
You're going to have to recover the onside kick anyway.
Right.
You obviously, everyone gets it. If you get the 2, oh, it's great because you can win with a field goal. If you don't, you're going to have to matriculate 40, 35 yards further. But it's still enough time to do that. It's interesting. Next game.
Sunday 1 Eastern, Bucks at the Browns, Kelly. Packers.
6-7 Bucks, who now lead currently right at this moment the NFC South. And the 6-6 Packers, who we haven't seen play, they play tonight at the Giants. They're 6.5-point favorites. As far as Tampa Bay yesterday, they end up beating Atlanta in a game in which they were outgained 434-290. And it came down to, we'll just fast forward to the end of this, 22-17, Tampa's up in a game that was back and forth to that point. Atlanta goes 75 yards on 5 plays, bookended by Ridder to London for 45, which was a beautiful play that looked like it was going to get picked, but instead London snatched it out of the air. And that drive closed with Ritter in from six and a two-point conversion. So Ritter to London on the two-pointer. 25-22 Atlanta with 3:23 to go. Tampa ends up on their final drive here. Fourth and one at their own 45 at the two-minute warning. Rashad White for three. 6 plays later, Mayfield to Otten from 11 out. Touchdown. 29-25 Tampa Bay with 31 seconds to go. Atlanta gets it all the way to the Tampa Bay 30 with 4 seconds left. To London for 28. 2 yards shy. Not good enough. Ball game. And as I said, outgained by Atlanta, 434-290. The Bucs managed to win. Mayfield completed 14 forward passes, 14 for 29 for 144. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. They're at Green Bay. I'll say Green Bay sight unseen tonight. Green Bay by 4.5.
And this is in the driver's seat now in the NFC South, your Buccaneers.
Right? That's what I said, yeah.
Packers are 3.5-point favorites, yes.
I'm really high on the Packers. I like them tonight. I think I like them in this game, too. Battle of the Bays. I like the Packers so much, I'd like to give a suggestion. They are 9-1 to win the NFC North. 9-1. They got 5 games, including tonight's. At the Giants, home Tampa. At Carolina, at Minnesota, home Chicago. All kind of winnable. Detroit and Minnesota, who are ahead of them, Detroit by 2 in the loss column, Minnesota just by a half game. Detroit, Denver, at Minnesota, at Dallas, home Minnesota. So if you figure they lose at Dallas and they split with the Vikings, even if you think they beat the Broncos, that's 2 losses. Minnesota's at Cincinnati, home Detroit. They have a head-to-head with Detroit. Green Bay and the at Detroit, the 2 games in 3 weeks. I kind of think Green Bay at 9-1 represents value.
I like it. I have them from the preseason, so I'll just hold on to that.
What's your number in preseason?
Like 375 or something.
9-1? Pretty good. Coming back. Numbers game. VEASAN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You went to that Brian Windhorst Hoop Collective thing, that live podcast?
Yes, I did.
How was it?
It was very cool. It was very cool. I was invited by some old friends I used to work with over at ESPN to go to it. And it was a very kind of private kind of exclusive event. It was just like a live podcast, much like you know, if you're with you doing the Megapod, if there was a bit of an audience here. So I think it was... I think it was interesting for those guys doing it, just because it's different from the way that you always record your podcast, right? But it was a cool event. Got to see some great people, and yeah, they had some great guests on: Kevin Pelton, Malik Andrews, all that. So everybody was down there.
That whole in-season tournament ended up being such a great idea.
It really was. It was awesome. I thought that was a great idea with the podcast too, because all these NBA people are in town, obviously.
Yeah, no arrogance among that group, huh? None whatsoever.
No.
Jack, special breed. Jack Hannon. If a receiver, we'll get to this with the Chiefs coming up. If a receiver lines up as a linebacker, I believe you have to throw a flag. My issue is I believe last night's officials were told to find one last night. Sure enough, they did. Combine this with holding flags being picked up on touchdowns, and it doesn't look good. Yeah, I don't know if they were told to look for one. I'll have my opinion on that coming up when we get to it.
Oh, I maybe think that in the Sunday night game last night.
That what?
When they called it on the guard from leaning into the neutral zone.
Oh.
Last night in that game.
The Eagles game.
Yeah, the Eagles Cowboys game. That was the one where I was like, this feels like an NFL officials.
I even texted when that happened. I was like, is he offsides?
Yeah.
Like, did that look offsides to you at all?
Okay, so I think it was, but it was so barely, Gil.
I'm sorry. I was like,
I'm never the conspiracy theorist guy. That was the one where it was like, man, it felt like the NFL called this ref crew before.
That was when Chirico and Collins were didn't really comp. They were like, okay, that's offsides. Yeah. I was like, it was.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Eagles offensive
line. And you would think you'd be making a bigger deal about that after what just happened in Chiefs-Bills.
Not sure would have mattered in the outcome of that one last night, but yeah. All right, let's do another. What do we got?
All right, we are on to Texans at Titans.
Texans at Titans, again, for everybody saying, oh, you should have made a fortune on the Vikings-Raiders live bet undering them. Well, if you did it on this Houston Jets game, you got slapped. Because first half, Houston punt, Jets punt, Houston punt, Jets three and out, Houston punt, Jets punt, Houston three and out, Jets three and out, Houston three and out, Jets three and out, Houston punt, Jets end half. There's your first half. Stroud, CJ that is, 28 yards passing in the first half. The Jets outgained the Texans 100-63. There were 11 punts and 10 first downs in the first half of that Jets-Texans game. And then the third quarter happened. Opening drive, Jets go 75 yards, seven plays. Because, of course, they do. 55 of those to Garrett Wilson. Wilson to Cobb from 15 out. 7-0 jettisons. After the Houston 3-and-out, Jets go 69 yards. Xavier Gibson in from 9. 14-0 Jets. 4:31 left third quarter. After another Houston 3-and-out, Jets first and 10 at their own 40. Zach for 11, hit by Christian Harris, fumbles. Khalil Davis recovers, go 57 yards on four plays. Singletary in from 1, 14-6. Amendola misses a PAT to end the third quarter. Have I mentioned it was a horrible day kicking? Jets then go 75 yards, nine plays. Wilson to Hall. That's Breece for 3, 21-6. Then Houston 3-and-out. Zerline, 51-yard field goal, 24-6. Subsequent drive, Stroud bangs his head on the turf, knocked out. Mills in. Zerline would add two more field goals from 55 and 44. 30-6 Jets. Stroud 10 for 23 for 91 before he was taken out. Mills taken out for injury or concussion. Mills 1 for 5 for 4 yards. The Jets outgained Houston 347-135, 20-10 in first downs. And the Texans were 1 of 12 on third and 0 for 3 on fourth. Only had the ball 22 minutes and 55 seconds. I get it. You might have had the Jets, but 30-6. What would you put the number on Aaron Rodgers popping up out of nowhere this week and making it about him? Oh, I can still come back. All right, Aaron.
Oh, man, just get eliminated already so we don't have to deal with this. Because the problem is you're right, and I'm going to be annoyed by that
during
this week.
Yeah.
But, man, you got to give this Jets defense and then Zach Wilson some credit.
Brent called it on the Megapod with Zach Wilson. He said Zach Wilson has been unfairly, I'll use my words, not his, unfairly maligned.
Yes. Yes.
Like in a way,
for 2 years.
Not that he's good, but in a way that's over the top.
Yes. Absolutely. I think that since the jump with it.
Houston -2.5 on the road. By the way, if C.J. Stroud, even if he were to, let's say he gets back in, even if he were to play like this the rest of the way, he won't win Rookie of the Year either. Just want to throw that out.
I mean, I don't think that's good. That will happen. This was his.
I don't think it will happen
this
either.
This was a dud of a game on the road against a good defense, not an ideal weather.
But I just want to point out for all of
but
these
yes,
awards.
But yes, your Puka Nacua ticket is not dead.
Oh, no, I wasn't even talking about that. Well, yeah, you're right. Kind of is. But I'm just saying, with all of these awards, there's still enough runway. Obviously, with MVP and Coach of the Year, those are still up for grabs. But for the ones that you think are donezo, maybe they're not. Houston -2.5 at Tennessee. Or does Tank Dell's absence mean that much?
It is Titans -2. Sorry.
Entire
board at DraftKings just went off. And
I think the wrong team is favored here. Titans don't play till tonight. Titans favored, huh? Is that because we don't know if C.J. Stroud is playing? Is that the assumption?
Yes. Okay. I mean, he's going to be in concussion protocol.
Okay, that makes
sense. He's going to be in concussion protocol. Now, did Derek Carr just clear it in a week's time?
Yes,
he did.
Right.
But before him, I don't think it's been like a year plus since someone's cleared it that fast, quarterback-wise at least. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. You're going to have to keep your eye out on it. But this is... you heard Adam Chernoff talking about it this morning on his podcast. Like some of these injury things, especially the concussions where you kind of thought to know how to handle it week to week, you just can't. You have no idea.
You have no idea. So, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that guess is poor if he doesn't play, obviously. All right, what's next?
All right, next up, Jets at Dolphins.
Dolphins sight unseen. They play tonight. They host the Titans. Jets, we just talked about. Zach Wilson in victory. 27 of 36 for 301. How about it? Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked four times. Garrett Wilson, 9 for 108. Brees, 10 for 40 on the ground. 8 for 86 in receptions and a touchdown. Jets outgained the Texans, as we talked about. 347 to 135. Dolphins will still be, I mean, if nothing happens tonight, right? The Dolphins get out healthy tonight. They do what they're supposed to do. They'll be 13-point favorites, right? Something like that?
Got them at 12 right now, but yes, I think you'll see a similar number to what we're seeing tonight. Yes, probably by the end of this.
All right. Rather than jump into the Kansas City game here, because I want to let that breathe.
Skip ahead one?
No. Oh, you want to skip ahead one? You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's skip ahead one. Let's do one.
All right. Sunday 1 Eastern, Giants at Saints.
Okay. Giants are 4-8. Giants 4-8. They play tonight. They host the Packers. Saints 6-7, though right now they would not be in first place in the NFC South. All right. Saints beat the Panthers, but it's like one of these games where you're like, are the Saints any good at all? After a Carolina 3-and-out, Blake Grupe yanks a 29-yard field goal try wide left. Did you see that attempt?
Yes.
That thing landed in the section in the corner.
That was like, I think that was a little bit of bad snap, bad hold, and bad kick. Like, it was like all three combined.
You know the section that dips down into a triangle, like into one seat? That guy caught the ball. Then first and 10 for Carolina at their own 49. Bryce hit, ball up in the air, picked by Pete Werner. But a New Orleans 3-and-out. Carolina obliges with their own 3-and-out. Short field for New Orleans starting at the Carolina 44. 6 plays, Kamarian from 9. First play, second quarter, 7-0 Saints. Pinheiro, 47-yard field goal, made it 7-3. New Orleans punt, Carolina 3-and-out. Johnny Hecker then punt block. DeMarco Jackson to the house from 8 out for New Orleans. 14-3 Saints, 4:36 left in the second quarter. And then from there, it's kind of like, you know, they just cruise, right? It's Carolina stopped on downs, 4th-and-1 at the New Orleans 45. Bryce incomplete. Carr was then picked by Derrick Brown in the closing seconds, but Carolina couldn't advance the ball. And by the way, at halftime, Bryce Young was 3 of 15 for 29.
Ugh.
And a fumble lost. Carr was 10 of 15 for 41 in a pick, by the way.
Right. Yeah. That wasn't much more impressive.
Yeah. Third quarter, New Orleans punt. Carolina starts at their own 14. They get it to first and goal at the New Orleans 1. Here's the Panthers season in a nutshell. First and goal at the New Orleans 1. 1 yard loss, sack, incomplete. Pinheiro field goal is good. 14-6 New Orleans. And then after New Orleans 3-and-out, Carolina matriculates. Pinheiro doinks a 41-yard field goal try. New Orleans would add one more score. Or two more scores, 28-6. The bottom line in this game is Carolina outgained New Orleans 303 to 207.
Yep.
Carr, 18 of 26 for 119.
It's pathetic.
Bryce, 13 of 36 for 137. New Orleans isn't any good, but they'll be 5.5. But I know that they'll be 5.5, right, somewhere in there because of what their previous home games against other crappy teams are.
Yep, 6.5.
Oh, even more.
Look, that defense is pretty good. This is a disgusting just show of offense from them all season long.
Give me Jameis. What do I like best so far? I don't know. Probably Green Bay at this point. Lebatard is next on the DraftKings Network. We're coming back at VSiN. More guessing lines, including that Kansas City game. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you from Bar Canada at the D. Barcanada, the barrage. Beautiful downtown Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, before I read tweets, I would like to talk about the scourge of people who are exercising, who mishear things you say. Angriest guy in Kentucky, basically like angry tweeting that I was defending Staley. And I said to him, I go, no, I said, like, how quickly will Spanos fire Staley right as the final gun? Right, yeah. And I said, oh, will people kill Campbell as much as they did Staley back in the day for all those fourth and downs? And he goes, oh, sorry, I was on a bike. And then Felico's like, did you say that C.J. Stroud won't win Rookie of the Year? No, I said if he plays like that for the rest of the way, he wouldn't win Rookie of the Year. And he goes, oh, sorry, I'm on a bike. All these people on
a lot of people biking this morning.
Biking and misquoting.
Hey, I like
biking
it.
Biking and misquoting.
We get out there and bike.
We get tweets from people who are not on bikes. Alan Mitchell, Gil, is Browning a Dobbs sequel or the real thing? Also, what about pizza money? Flacco, comeback player of the year. Well, we talked about Flacco. I don't hate it. I really don't. I mean, I think Hamlin's going to get it, but I get the story. 38 years old off the street. So much better than the other guys, DTR and PJ Walker. But here's the thing. Again, one bad Flacco game, and he's not winning.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be perfect from here on out. As far as, like, Browning being a Dobbs sequel, I don't think so, because will Browning forget how to play quarterback entirely? I don't think so.
Who knows with these guys?
Who knows?
I mean, I really don't. I mean, Browning is one of those guys, too, where he was
so bad in college, too.
It's tough to figure out. He was so he was highly recruited, right? He has, like, one of those historic high school careers, if you go back and look at it. And then Washington, yeah, like up and down, and he's just been in the – what has he been in the NFL now for a few years?
Let me not say he was bad in college. Yeah, I just remember betting against him a lot and winning. Ryan Gold, if the Dolphins and Packers win straight up tonight, I win $1,600 in my pick eight. How would you hedge? Oh, God, hedging questions, Kelly.
I'd say wait for the second game, but –
Yeah, they're
NFL.
Concurrent. No one likes that.
Still don't
that.
Get that. I still don't understand it.
Ryan, listen, at this point, there's nothing clean on either.
You don't have a clean straight hit. I mean, unless one of those games turns into a blowout in your favor, right, and the other one.
If there's one, I would tell you take the points, you know, with the.
I wouldn't do anything till end game.
Yeah.
You got two to finish it.
Bruce Dobig and Chase Brown's a Canuck, and he's a twin. His bro, Sydney, plays for the Eagles, so we got that going for us. Talking about Chase Brown of the Bengals. This is from Bye Week Picks.
Fast.
Now that Dak is the front runner for the MVP, how about Purdy, 150-1 for Offensive Player of the Year? Great story for Mr. Irrelevant to win an award, and historically not always a non-quarterback. Bye Week Picks, I actually have Purdy from earlier in the year at 75-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year. I also have him at 16-1 to win MVP, and I have Tyreek for MVP at 75-1. So... the thing is, I decided to do the counterintuitive thing earlier where I was like, I'll take Tyreek for MVP and Purdy for Offensive Player of the Year. And then Aaron Schatz comes on and tells us, well, he's not going to vote that way. And so that's why I took the Purdy play. So I can't in good conscience recommend that, even though I have it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, what's weird is if I was going to bet that, I get the narrative you're trying to build up.
Yes.
But if you're going to bet that, I'd do what you did. I would actually bet both then.
Yeah.
Because I think the only way he would win that is if somehow these quarterbacks crater and they actually decide to give it the MVP to a non-quarterback, which would be Tyreek.
It was an interesting day yesterday because a lot of the guys who were in the front runners for Coach of the Year lost.
Yep.
Right? The D'Amico Ryans and the Shane Steichens of the world.
I don't get the odds.
And then Dan Campbell, obviously, as well, right?
Like, I think he's tied for the short shot now. He's still up there, though.
And then, like, there are people going into last night's game that still thought, like, Jalen Hurts was going to win MVP. He's not winning no damn MVP. Mike Alvarez, we love Mike. My uncut gems parlay went down due to my favorite team. He said, Jared Goff playing like crap in the cold, check. Jets outscore at least 17 NFL teams, check. Raiders alt team total over a half a point, X. I was going to buy you and Kelly something real nice if it cashed.
We had. Ben and I, live Ben Sunday yesterday, we're on opposite sides on that game. I had the Vikings -3 and the Raiders +3. We're like, all right, we'll buy the crew drinks after whoever wins this game.
Did you think they were not going to kick that field goal at the end?
I thought they were going to kick it. I had no problem with what they did, though, right?
Yeah.
I had betting-wise, I got a 2.5 on Saturday, so that was good.
Norman Vegas, tennis in Vegas, Nadal and Alcaraz going to play at Mandalay Bay in March.
I just texted you that.
That's nice. Stephen Vegas saying about my Packers suggestion for the division, he goes, go check out Bam Soyd for a better number. Tom Steffen agreed with Kelly regarding tie versus win analytics, game flow, in-game injuries. Many other factors determine how to apply analytics and make best decision for each specific game. I don't love the 4-2, in case I made myself, it didn't make myself clear. Like, I get why they're telling you to do it. I don't like it nearly as much as the 8-6.
I appreciate the agreement, because I don't know that I made a lot of sense while talking.
I'm not sure you did either. A Joe named Jim. The way to get behind 4-2, just mentally forget analytics, is to look at it through the lens of it sets you up to win if and when the onside kick comes through. In both scenarios, you need it. Only win in one with a field goal.
I think I said that, didn't I? Yeah, you did. I think that's what most people struggle with, too, whenever we have these conversations. It's all based around what's the best percentage to win. To win in the end, whether it's regulation, overtime.
Win probability.
Right.
Whereas your brain is wired to extend the game.
You're right, exactly.
Which, by the way, doesn't mean it's wired wrong, in my opinion. Judd O'Connor. Not sure if you already got to the Chiefs. Despite the controversial call, can we just talk about how uncoachable Tony is? Football's a game of inches, but to stand a half foot off the ball won't lose your edge. We'll get into that momentarily. Zach and Cheese. Fully agree with you suggesting Packers at 9-1 to win the NFC North. Gill, I took them this past week at 14-1. If the Packers win out and the Lions lose two more, Packers own the breaker. Yes, I failed to mention that. Professor Shine, how can the Pack win the NFC North when they have to deal with Tommy Cutlets and a resurgent Big Blue in North Jersey tonight? That's true. If they lose that, that's out the window. Jesse Welch, I was thinking you guys would throw cold water on Flacco for comeback player of the year because I've been throwing $20 bets at 100-1 all morning. Now I think I need to put one more down. And Lawrence Carter, Gil, good luck at the Packers to win the NFC North. 10-1 at MGM this morning. We'll read more tweets later. Let's get to it. What's next?
Chiefs at Patriots.
Chiefs at Patriots. Oh, wow. That's a barn burner.
Let's go back to the Patriots recap.
Yeah, let's not do
nothing happened in the Chiefs game.
Chiefs 8-5, Patriots 3-10 after that rousing win on Thursday. Chiefs against the Bills yesterday, game of the week. They build that way. It was all right. Opening drive, KC 2nd-5 at the Buffalo 30. Mahomes picked on a tip ball by A.J. Epinesa. Buffalo can't capitalize, though. Teams trade punts. Buffalo goes 53 yards then. Six plays. Allen to James Cook from 25 out. 7-0 Buffalo Bills. 3:43 left first quarter. After a KC 3-and-out, Buffalo then goes 73 yards. 12 plays, including a 4th-and-1 at Kansas City 14. Allen to Kincaid. Heavily improvised. Hookup for 4. 2 plays later, Allen in from 6. 14-0 Bills. 11:30 left second quarter. After a KC punt, 3rd-and-4, their own 43 for Buffalo. Allen picked by Jamari Connor. KC set up at their own 336, 11 in the second quarter. 9 plays later, McKinnon in from 7, 119 left second quarter. Buffalo eschews the Bass 62-yard field goal try. Hail Mary incomplete. So there's your score at the half, 14-7. Third quarter, Bass 31-yard field goal makes it 17-7. Then Kansas City, 9 plays, 75 yards. Mahomes to Rice from 4 out, 17-14 Bills, 3:30 left third quarter. Buffalo 3-and-out. KC 2nd-and-10 of their own 42. Mahomes to Rice, hit by Christian Benford, fumbles. Aaron Johnson recovers the KC 48, 33 seconds left third quarter. Then a Buffalo 3-and-out, though. Butker, 27-yard field goal, makes it 17-17, 11:31 to go. We have an 11.5-minute football game. Buffalo punts after an Allen to Murray 21-yard gain where Allen was almost out of bounds when he threw it. Murray didn't appear to have established possession. The fumble goes out of bounds before anyone recovered. That was a weird play.
No idea, didn't
matter in the end.
Yeah.
But I was like, how was that possession?
It was an incredible play by Josh Allen that basically only Josh Allen can make for everybody that loves to crush him out there.
Yes.
I still don't know what a catch is. I don't know how
I have no idea.
Catch.
That certainly was not by anything I've ever seen before. KC 3-0. Buffalo starts at their own 30. Tie game, 6:57 to go. They matriculate. After a Kansas City illegal contact, they end up with 1st-and-10 of the Kansas City 22 with 2:12 to go. Kansas City has 2 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. So what does Buffalo do? What's the optimal win probability way to play this? You run. You make Kansas City use their timeouts, and the 2-minute warning will pass as well. You try to get the first down. If you do, you ice the football game with a chip shot field goal. Instead, incomplete, 2-yard gain, 2-minute warning. So Bass hits the 39-yard field goal to go up 20-17. But Kansas City now takes over with both of their timeouts still intact, both of their remaining timeouts. And here's the play that everybody's talking about. We get it to 1:25 to go. Kansas City 2nd-and-10 at the Buffalo 49. They're down 3. Mahomes to Kelce flings it back to Kadarius Toney. Touchdown. Did Kelce really just do that? Unbelievable. Greatest play I've ever seen. Ballsiest, as Patrick Mahomes would call it later. Doesn't matter. Kadarius Toney lined up on the, in the neutral zone. Oh, my God. Fourth and 15 at their own 46. 101 to go. Mahomes incomplete. And the Bills win it. Mahomes, 23rd in QBR on throws to wide receivers this year. 23rd out of 32 starters. Now, here's the thing. First of all, Dave Kluge, this is Kadarius Toney. This is, was this Adam Driver in a movie promo? That's what Kadarius Toney looked like.
I was wondering,
like.
Gil, what movie is this from?
I don't know. What is it from?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. I would never know that.
When you texted me, I was like,
I would never know that.
I was like, I don't bet you Gil doesn't know what this is from.
We've never seen Patrick Mahomes angrier after a game. I thought he was screaming at Matt Nagy at first.
Me too.
I was like,
totally
what's going
me
on?
Too. Yes.
And then they were like, no, he's screaming at the refs. We heard him say to Josh Allen, worst call ever. Let us play. He said in the post-game presser, he had time to simmer down. He didn't. Let us play. Worst call I've ever seen. Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Bashing the refs. I will just say what Tim Hasselbeck said on SVP last night. Love Andy Reid. Love Patrick Mahomes. You're the best quarterback maybe ever. Apologies, Tom Brady. I get it. You're wrong. It is not the official's job to tell Kadarius Toney that you're offsides. And he was so clearly offsides. And by the way, I also reject the notion in any sport that you call things differently at different times of games.
Yes. 100%.
That drives me crazy. Just because it's the key play of the game versus something innocuous in the first quarter, it's still the rule. You're wrong. Buffalo wins at 20-17. We'll talk more about this, including a bet, despite everything I just said. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 to become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Back to that Chiefs game once again. And by the way, good on the Bills. I think I used the term sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear to describe the Bills last week multiple times. Also said they're the team you do not want to let into the postseason because they would be live. I have a terrible exacta price on a Niners to beat Bills Super Bowl. I got a 25-1 before this game. You could have gotten it at 80-1. But back to the Chiefs thing for a second. Now, they're not right. Kadarius Toney could have checked with the officials. He didn't. It is not incumbent upon the officials to go out of their way to tell him he's offside. Especially, by the way, when it's not, because we brought up the comparison with that Eagles offsides on offense yesterday in the tush push. That's questionable. This wasn't questionable. Like his foot is past the ball.
It's crazy.
So,
watching the all 22 video right now, he never checks over to the sideline, which those receivers can do all the time. Sheffers talked about it post game too. They're like, hey, if we're asked about it, we help these players realign.
Yeah,
never looked over, never went to check.
And Mahomes can say, oh, I still want that play in my Hall of Fame induction speech, and he can say it's the ballsiest play, and it was the ballsiest. It was amazing, but it's a call. Now, all of that said, what else did we say on the show last week, or what else did I say? I said when we were going over number one seeds, Kelly, that the Chiefs were the best bet to get the number one seed. And I said, even if they lose to Buffalo, your strategy, if you think Buffalo's going to beat them, you should wait.
Yeah.
We had this conversation on the show.
Yep.
The Chiefs are 10-1 to get the number one seed in the AFC. Now, let me just go through this with you. There are two games in the loss column behind both the Ravens and the Dolphins. Baltimore's remaining schedule: at Jacksonville, at San Francisco, home Miami, home Pitt. Miami's remaining schedule after tonight's game: home against Tennessee, home Jets, but then home Dallas, at Baltimore, home Buffalo. Kansas City's remaining schedule: at New England, home Las Vegas, home Cincinnati, at the Chargers. And by the way, they beat Jacksonville, they beat Miami, head-to-heads. and they would have the best conference record, and they currently do, of all these contenders with only two losses. 10-1 on the Chiefs. Think about how you feel about them right now.
Yeah.
That they lost this game, that they're whining about it. Maybe maybe how you feel about them is at a very low point. 10-1 to me, Kelly, based on what I just said right there, is actually a pretty darn good bet.
I like it, too. I like it, too, just because I've been saying it for weeks, too. I don't know that I could fully trust this Ravens or Dolphins team. I don't know that there's a pure great team right now in the AFC. So, yeah, I don't hate that at all.
Let's rifle through some of these.
Okay, next up we have Falcons at Panthers.
Falcons at Panthers. Falcons, we talked about, they outgained the Bucs but lost. Ritter, 26 of 40 for 347. Bravo, Desmond Ritter. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked three times. Touchdown on the ground. Drake London, 10 for 172, including that amazing catch we described earlier. Outgained Tampa Bay, 434 to 290. And then Carolina, bruh, they're 1-12. Bryce Young, 13 of 36 for 137. No touchdowns, no picks, but he was sacked four times. He lost a fumble. They outgained New Orleans in defeat, 303 to 207. I'll say Atlanta minus 4.5 on the road.
This is Atlanta minus 3. And a bet for me.
Ooh, me too. Wow. Hold on a second now. Am I in the very strange position of thinking the Falcons are better than the market does? This hasn't happened this year.
Yo, I'm with you, man. I think I've bet the Falcons. I bet them 2 weeks ago. I think that was the first time I bet them this year.
How many times have we come on this show and been like, boy, the market loves the Falcons. How are they only 3 here at Carolina?
Yeah, I don't know. My guess would have been somewhere where you had it in the dead range.
Oh, that's a bet.
You can't have Atlanta favored by too many points just because they're never going to win by margin.
And you figure Carolina's going to show up 1 week, right?
I don't know.
They've been so bad.
And what's the one thing Atlanta does well? They run the ball well. Okay, you're going up against the fourth worst rush defense over at Pro Football Focus.
I like Atlanta there. That's a bet. What's next? We have a bet.
Into the afternoon window now, 4:05 Eastern time, Commanders at Rams.
Well, Commodores were on a bye, thankfully. 4-9. They're at the 6-7 Rams. The Rams lose to Baltimore in overtime, 37-31, after a Baltimore punt. Haversill, 27-yard field goal, 3-0 Rams. Subsequent trade of punts. First and 10 at their own 46 for Baltimore. Lamar to a wide open Isaiah Likely for 54, 7-3 Baltimore late first quarter. Then the Rams go 75 yards, 7 plays. Stafford to Kupp from 6 out, 10-7 Rams. 12:01 left second quarter. Then Baltimore goes 75 yards and 5 plays. Lamar to a wide open OBJ for 46. Makes a great adjustment on the ball. By the way, that was the second great adjustment to that point in the game. 14-10 Baltimore, back and forth. 9:40 left second quarter. Then the Rams go 75 yards after they appeared to be stopped on a third, on a three and out, rather. But Baltimore jumped off sides on a 4th and 5 at their own 30, the Rams' own 30. 6 plays later, Stafford to Davis Allen. Davis Allen was everywhere yesterday. Have you met Davis Allen before? From 7 out. 17-14 Rams, 5 minutes left second quarter. This turned out to be the game of the day in the end. Then first play following drive, Lamar was picked by Akella Witherspoon. That led to a Haversick 51-yard field goal. 20-14 Rams, 1:45 left second quarter. Baltimore would answer with a Tucker 31-yard field goal. 20-17 Rams at the half. Third quarter, Rams 3 and out. Tucker 47-yard field goal knots it up at 20 apiece. 10:02 left third quarter. Then after a Rams punt, Baltimore 3rd and 5 at their own 15. Lamar not ready for the snap. It goes by him into the end zone. He kicks it out the back. Safety, 22-20 Rams. 5:52 left third quarter. Rams punt. Tucker 33-yard field goal to put the Ravens up 23-22 with 11:17 to go. Trade of 3 and outs. Rams go 85 yards and 8 plays. Ravens couldn't stop them. Stafford to Demarcus Robinson for 5 out. 28-23 Rams. 2-point conversion fails. 4:41 left. Baltimore then matriculates. 3rd and 17 at the Rams 21. Lamar to Zay. Touchdown. Man, oh man. 75-yard, 13-play drive. 2-point conversion is a 31-28 Baltimore, 1:16 to go. Stafford picks on Marlon Humphrey to Robinson for 19, then to Kupp for 34. Already at the Baltimore 22, 2 plays later, it looks like Humphrey's actually going to pick it in the end zone. Robinson somehow breaks it up.
What a play.
Great play. 2 plays later, Haversick, 36-yard field goal. We're going overtime, 31 apiece. Overtime. Baltimore three and out. Rams just need a field goal. They have a three and out. Then Ethan Evans punts it. Tylan Wallace, 76 yards of the house, aided by perhaps, I don't know, couple penalties minimum. No call.
Nah, Gil, I like the
Kelly on primetime action. What was your, as Matt would talk? What was your you and me had a running joke. We didn't care if we interrupted him. We're like, hey, Kelly, look, they threw a flag.
There's
on
a flag
return.
On that return. Crazy.
It happens all the time.
I liked the replay. I think it's a new tactic that they should pick up, Gil, because it's not a block in the back. If I'm just like twirling around like a child, right. Like whoa, I can't control myself.
By the way, 8 people had Baltimore in Survivor. Woo! 37-31. Ravens win at Stafford, 23 of 41 for 294. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Kyron Williams, 25 for 114. Cup, 8 for 115 and a touchdown in defeat. Rams, 2-1 to make the playoffs, Kelly. That's a good bet, I think, right at this moment. Again, with 4 games left in the season now for everybody. This is probably the last time I recommended 2 division bets. Green Bay at 9-1 in the NFC North. Kansas City 10-1 in the AFC West. The Rams at 2-1 to make the playoffs. The reason being, if you look at the NFC playoff picture right
Kansas
now.
Kansas City to get the 1 seed.
I'm sorry, say again? Kansas City to get the 1 seed. Pardon me. Yes, correct. Thank you. Green Bay to win the division. Kansas City to get the 1 seed. But the Rams to make the playoffs, they're on the outside looking in. The one team ahead of them is the Vikings at 7-6 that you're like, okay, Rams can't overcome them. And the other teams that are 6-7 right now with the Rams are the Falcons, the Saints, and the Seahawks. The Rams' remaining schedule, let me get that out right here, is favorable. The Rams' remaining schedule, with the exception of one game at the end, which is against the Niners. But if you believe the Rams can go 3-1, they're home Washington, home New Orleans, at the Giants, then the at San Francisco. Maybe there's even a chance that San Francisco has locked up the number one seed. I doubt it, but maybe. Mm-hmm. But even if you think they're going 3-1, you don't think a 9-8 Rams team gets in? I do.
I like it.
2-1?
We'll do some more yes-nos tomorrow.
Okay.
The AFC is jumbled, obviously. We'll talk more about it. I think I like that, though.
Rams -7, hosting Washington.
-6.5. There are some sevens out there. I bet the over in this game.
Oh, you did. What's the number?
48.5.
Look at you, Ben, in total.
Yeah. These two teams, I mean, this Rams offense, man. When these guys, it's just amazing when it just feels like it's all Stafford, Cup, Nakua, Kyron Williams, and they are just fire.
See that catch Nakua made yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Is he good? Coming back, more games to get to, more value to be extracted. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly, after the show today, I am headed to the South Point, which I have not returned to since we left. I bought Chrissy, my mishpucha, I bought him this Hanukkah menorah maybe like 4 years ago. The most awesome menorah you'll ever see in your life. You know what I neglected to buy him also?
Candles.
Candles that fit the menorah. So I'm actually delivering candles to him that actually fit his menorah right after the show today. Exciting. Yeah, exciting trip to the South Point.
I've been back. I mean, I live right across the street, so I've been in there a few times.
Oh,
but the first time or two, it's weird.
6.5 years I went there either once or twice a day.
Yeah, never. I know.
Yeah.
It's wild.
A Joe named Jim, we get tweets. With regard to Stroud, Purdy also came back after being in protocol this year, referring to...
Yep, that was my bad. That is accurate. Purdy returned in a week.
Yeah, well, what I was saying was not that I don't think Stroud's going to be out. What I'm saying is if he played that way. I guess what I was trying to express
No, that wasn't what I... He was talking about what I said with clearing the concussion protocol in a week's time, and it had only been done, by two guys.
Purdy's still minus a bajillion to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and justifiably so. Just to follow VSiN, the Chargers are like a gold-plated turd, but shaped like a bar of gold. You know it's not a gold bar, but it looks like a gold bar. Then you bet that it's a gold bar, even though you know what it is. I had the Chargers, by the way, he says. So did I. 3JackH3131. Maybe it's a VSiN audio thing with the misheard quotes. It cut out on me right as you named that sushi place. Also, karma biting the Chiefs back. Taylor already wrote that song, though. Taylor Swift he's referring to. Nevada Azer, bad look for the whiny Chiefs. The NFL created this mess of KC entitlement by how it allowed last year's AFC title game and Super Bowl to be officiated. When Patrick Mahomes says he believes players should decide the outcome, does he mean his players? LOL, on to week 15. Scott, New York Mets 16. The reason why I never miss a minute of a numbers game. Quote, let the players decide the game, unquote. They did by committing a penalty that the ref should call. Time of game does not matter. Thank you, Gil. Angriest guy in Kentucky. Yeah, I was on my bike, man. I made Joe Biden look like Lance Armstrong, he said. Trust the glove. Misdirected anger takes many forms. However, I agree that Sean and Peyton's are indeed pretenders. You saying I'm angry about the Broncos? No, I'm not angry. Sumner Hutchinson. Yeah, but the Chiefs are minus 200 to the under 11.5 wins. Number one seed, it ain't happening. Well, Sumner, you heard my justification anymore and my reasoning for it. You can choose to follow if you like. Brian M., if you're going to bet on KC to get the number one seed, don't you wait until after tonight with the assumption Miami wins, then there are two teams, two games clear of them. I think the assumption already based on the market is that they will win, and so I don't think that you wait, actually, because if they win, it's not going to change the Chiefs' market price. If they were to lose, you'll get a worse price. Does that make sense? I don't think you wait till after tonight's game.
I think you're right. It'd be bet it now because it wouldn't adjust much. Maybe it does right. A little bit, but not much.
Incremental versus perhaps dramatically.
Right, but yes. Your bet is in a much better position all of a sudden if they happen to lose.
That's
the game.
Correct.
So, yeah, I would bet it now. I'm with you.
All right, what's next? We got games to get to.
Yeah, here. We do. 49ers at Cardinals, 4:05 Eastern.
10-3 Niners, 3-10 Cardinals, who were on a bye as well. Only them and Washington were on a bye. Nobody with byes anymore. Everybody's on the same level right now in terms of games played. 13 games played. Niners first play against the Seahawks. McCaffrey for 72. And Jordan Mason in for 4. 7-0 Niners before you could blink. You're like, oh, the route is on. But no. Seattle, 8 plays, 75 yards. Drew Locke, who we learned just about an hour and a half before game time. Oh, by the way, Geno's not playing. It's going to be Drew Locke. Locked to DK for 31, 7-7, 9:44 left first quarter. After San Francisco 3-and-out, Seattle 3-and-out, San Francisco 3-and-out. Myers, 40-yard field goal, 10-7, Hawks, 52 seconds left first quarter. San Francisco first and 10 to Seattle, 48. Purdy picked off a tip that was intended for Ayuk, bounced off Ayuk into Julian Love's hands. But then after a Seattle punt, they could not capitalize. San Francisco, 83 yards in 5 plays, Purdy to Debo for 54. 14-10 Niners, 8:18 left second quarter. It's the best team in football. Have been for a long time now. After Seattle punt, 4th-and-2 at the San Francisco 47 with 5:23 left, they decided they'd punt. You're playing the Niners. Go for it. Come on. Then a San Francisco punt. Then San Francisco, having Seattle pinned all their timeouts, they decide they're content to go to halftime, which I thought was very strange, too, on Kyle Shanahan's part.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like Carroll and Shanahan just like, hold my beer. Third quarter. It's still 14-10 at this point. Seattle 3-and-out. San Francisco punt. Seattle punt. Then San Francisco's like, okay, enough of this. 75 yards, 7 plays. Bookended by Purdy to Ayuk for 45. Debo in from 1 at the end. 21-10 Niners. Late third quarter. Then Seattle 3 plays, 78 yards. Locked to Colby Parkinson for 25. Made it 21-16. That 2 plays after an incredible lock to Walker 27-yard play in which Walker crossed the field from right to left after seemingly being hemmed in. 2-point conversion failed, though, closing seconds of the third quarter. So it's 21-16 into the fourth quarter. Then the Niners, 3 plays, 75 yards. Just enough of that. Purdy to Debo for 30. 2 plays later to Kittle for 44. 28-16. First play, next drive. Locke would be picked by Jair Brown. Second play for the Niners. Second and fourth, their own 44. Purdy to Ayuk for 31. But then Love slapped the ball down out of his arm, fumbles, Reek Woolen recovered. 13:04 to go, trade of punts, then Drew Locke picked deep by Fred Warner. DK Metcalf loses his mind. He gets tossed, as does Lenoir Diamador. San Francisco would run out the clock, ball game. Purdy, 19 of 27 for 368. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, he was sacked 3 times. McCaffrey, 16 for 145. Debo, 7 for 149. Touchdown. 527 total yards for the Niners. By the way, can we run that tweet about the Niners? This comes to us. I want to get the this is Aaron Schatz's tweet. That's right. Aaron Schatz will be on the show this week. The Niners are now the number 5 best team ever tracked by DVOA through 13 games. The Ravens are the 11th best team all time through 13 games, despite, in the Ravens' case, dropping a bit this week. Not listed, the 1987 Niners, because they only played 12 games in a strike year. But the Niners are the 5th best team ever by Aaron Schatz proprietary DVOA through 13 games. the 2007 Patriots and the 91 Skins, the two greatest teams of all time, pick your team, are 1-2. The Niners are fifth. Does your eye test corroborate that for both the Niners and the Ravens, or one or the other, that they're in the top 11?
More the Niners, for sure.
I would agree with the Niners.
Yeah, I guess I'm still surprised by the Ravens still hanging around in there.
Remember, he had them the best through like five games or something.
Yeah, they were way up there early, so maybe some of that's just coming down from there.
Well, remember with the Ravens, they blew out some teams that were thought to be good.
Yeah. Yep,
right, like Seattle, Detroit.
Detroit, yep.
I don't know if those teams are as good as we thought they were at that time, is the only thing.
Yeah,
but the Niners, fifth best of all time at that point. By the way, so I'll say San Francisco minus 10.5 here on the road.
13.5.
So that feels a little high to me.
I know. So this is what's getting tough with these games, right? Because I almost did it yesterday, too, where you're like, well, how much is too much?
I didn't touch it.
Like even,
and I doubt I'll touch this, even though I think it's too high.
This is the same thing. Yeah. I didn't end up touching it, but we were on the air yesterday, me and Ben. I'm like, 15 points. Like, this is a lot that you're giving Seattle. And then same thing, you're Arizona at home. I bet you this only goes one way. I bet you're going to see 14 here. And I bet you I'm still not going to bet it.
One thing that never happens on this show, I was going back. I was like, okay, what do I like best betting-wise? And I'm like, okay, I like Atlanta at Carolina. I like Green Bay, I think, assuming nothing happens bad tonight to them injury-wise. I like Green Bay. And then I was like, what was the Kansas City line? And then we both started laughing. We're like, I don't think I ever guessed
it. We got the little KC thing, and he never guessed the line.
Kansas City minus 7.5 at New England.
Yeah, you're low there, too. It's 9.5, even 10 some places now.
I think if it's below 10, I might take Kansas City. Even though my guess is low, I think I like Kansas City.
Yeah, I was hoping it'd be a little lower for a teaser possibility.
Yeah, it
ain't going there. It's only going to go one way.
All right. By the way, Purdy, just before we get to the last games on the other side, Dak Prescott after last night is the MVP short shot. Purdy is second. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but I think those two are neck and neck.
I'll just say this, and again, full disclosure, I have a Brock Purdy ticket. I do not have a Dak ticket. But the Cowboys' schedule is such that Purdy's got to be the fit. Like, if you're betting right now, you shouldn't be betting Dak to me.
I don't disagree with that.
I'm not so sure you'd be betting Purdy at this price either, but if you had to bet one of them, it should be Purdy based on the remaining schedule. Because the Cowboys,
I think it is more likely that he ends up winning it. Yes. Do I agree with Dak being the favorite, though, right now? Yes, I do.
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting. When we do our power rankings tomorrow, I think this is the first time this year where there are going to be some major changes. Not at 1-2, but after that.
Yeah.
Which has been pretty steadfast as some combination of Chiefs and Eagles to this point. Boy, the Eagles have problems. And the Chiefs are just not as good as they were. They can still be the number one seed. That's the conundrum of all of this for Chiefs bettors.
It's wild. The receiver's just terrible. It's terrible.
How about Romo saying it out loud? He's like, can they cost their team games more ways than they do? We'll finish it up. More games to get to next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season is here, and VSiN has an early Christmas present for you. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet? No problem. We're giving away this year's college bowl betting guide to everyone. We got spreads, totals, and expert picks from the Golic, Steve Mackinnon, and Brent Musburger for every single bowl game. Put a bow on this bowl season. Get a free copy of our VSiN College Bowl betting guide, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/bowl guide and get your free copy today. And those guys, starting with Matt Eumanns, Adam Burke, Wes Reynolds, they do such a great job with that.
Kill it.
Each and every
free
guide. Free. Don't cost you nothing. We get tweets of beating the book. Kevin Ryan, Gil, might that question you asked Kelly before the break, did you see that catch Nacua made, have been a plug for Nacua Offensive Rookie of the Year Award? Marlene Ponce, or Marlene Ponce. She sent us this
parlay in Espanol.
Like nine-leg parlay in Espanol, which I guess lost. And she's saying to us, what should I do? Should I stop playing? Do I enjoy suffering? I'm a Cardinals fan. Marlene, I'm just happy we have a female listener. That's it. What do you think our percentage of female listeners is, Kim?
I don't know what you're talking about. Females like our tweets all the time on here.
Steve Fezzik, love guessing lines
you
with
really,
Gil.
You're just going to zoom right by that. Wait, really?
I'm sorry.
I was like, what are you talking about? Females like our tweets all the time on here.
Oh, now I understand what you're saying. Ever since Elon Musk took over, we have so many listeners. That's right.
Angriest guy still trying to figure that one out.
Steve Fezzik, love guessing lines with Gil. Best year ever for the show. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Buddhist man. Jacksonville going for – he's talking about somebody else there. Oh, Stephen Kallik brings up a good point about that Aaron Schatz list of best teams through 13 weeks in DVOA. He goes, the number four team on that list was the 1998 13-0 Broncos. They came into the came into Giant Stadium and lost as 13.5-point favorites to Kent Graham and the G-Men any given Sunday, for sure. By the way, a couple thought exercises. This from Michael Montesano. I think these are great. Hypothetical, he says, if Stroud doesn't play the rest of the year, does he still win Offensive Rookie of the Year? Great question. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to go cop-out answer. It depends on what others do, include most notably Puka Nacua.
His other one. When people agree that Dak should be the favorite for MVP, what is the one stat or thing that makes him the favorite over Purdy? His implication there being, there ain't none. Just want to point that out. All right, next.
425 Eastern, Cowboys at Bills.
Last game that we haven't really described, Dallas crushes Philly last night. The 10-3 Cowboys at the 7-6 Bills. What a game this is. Ho-ho. Implicaciones. I don't know if that was Italian. I don't know what I was doing. Dallas, 10 plays, 75 yards. Dak to Lamb from 13 out, 7-0 Cowboys, 10 minutes left, first quarter. Philly, 1st-20 at the Dallas 31. Hurts, stripped by Donovan Wilson, who recovers it as well. 5:42 left the first quarter. Dallas, 4th-2 at the Philly 44. Pollard for 4. Then they settle for an Aubrey 60-yard field goal, 10-0 Cowboys. I'm like, what is he doing? Oh, that was a great call.
Yeah, this kid is incredible.
This kid is unbelievable. Elliott, 52-yard field goal after a fake punt extended the drive, but A.J. Brown couldn't haul in a Hurts pass that went right through his hands on the play before, so that made it 10-3. Dallas started their own 25, 75 yards, 12 plays. Dowdle in from one, 17-3 Dallas. 6:14 left second quarter. Elliott, 44-yard field goal to make it 17-6. But then Dallas, 8 plays, 75 yards. Dak to Gallup from one out, 24-6 at the half. Kelly, Philly not only looked slower than the Cowboys, which we probably expected, but they just looked like they had no energy.
Yeah.
None. Dallas looked like they had so much more than them. Philly, third quarter, 1st-10, their own 49. Hurts to A.J. Brown. Gilmore strips Brown. Damone Clark recovers. Couple 3-and-outs. Dallas, 3rd-10, their own 45. Dak hit by Fletcher Cox. Fumbles. Jalen Carter scoop and score. The only Philly highlight of the night to make it 24-13, but it was short-lived. Because then Aubrey hits a 59-yard field goal to make it 27-13. He's the first player in history to make two field goals of 59 or more in a game. I did not know that.
Really?
Until they said it.
Wow.
Last night.
Perfect on the year. My favorite tweet I saw all weekend that was that Brian Kelly was so bad, such a bad coach at Notre Dame that he didn't even figure out that the best football player was playing the wrong sport.
So true. So true. By the way, Aubrey then hits a 45-yarder. He hits another one from 50. He's 30 for 30 lifetime.
It's wild.
Let me just give you
his... If they roll him out there, right? Like that second one, they rolled him out there. I was like, whoa, this is kind of aggressive. But nope, no problem.
Let me just give you historical context. When Mark Moseley won the NFL MVP in 1982 in a strike-shortened year, yes, a kicker won MVP for Washington, he hit a unheard of 27 kicks in a row. 27 field goals in a row. These guys do that all the time now. This dude starts his career with 30 in a row, and they're missiles.
Yes, yes.
It's incredible.
I mean, you were neither one of those last night were you concerned about, the and long ones. Like, they were down.
Dallas wins this game 33-13. Philly doesn't score an offensive touchdown for the first time since the wild card game in 2019. Dak, 24 of 39 for 271. 8 straight home games for the Cowboys with 30-plus points. And we already talked about the Bills in victory. Josh Allen, 23 of 42 for 233 against the Chiefs. James Cook was all over the box score, 10 for 58, in the ground game, 5 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown. I will say, all that said, Buffalo minus 2.5.
Yeah, this kind of just reopened here a little bit ago. We're 1.5 at DraftKings. A lot of twos out there, though, on Buffalo. Buffalo minus 2.
I think I'm playing Buffalo. I think I'm playing Buffalo, baby.
Yeah, that line's interesting to me. I think that's pretty spot on to me.
Okay, Sunday night.
This is the best Dallas team in a long time.
Yes, yes. They are playing very, very good football. All right, Sunday night, Ravens and Jaguars.
10-3 Ravens, 8-5 Jaguars. This also has implications. Baltimore, Lamar in victory was 24-43 for 316. Three touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice. 11 carries for 70. OBJ, 4-97 and a touch. 859 total yards of offense in that game against the Rams for both teams. Trevor Lawrence in defeat against the Browns, 28-50 for 257, three touchdowns, three picks, four sacks. Baltimore by three on the road.
That's where it opened. We're up to 3.5 everywhere now at Baltimore.
Ah, damn.
Yeah, Monday night, Eagles at Seahawks.
By the way, I don't know if you know this, Kelly. That game's in Duval County. What was the Monday night game?
It's Eagles and Seahawks.
10-3 Eagles, 6-7 Seahawks. Seahawks on life support. Hurts yesterday in defeat, 18 of 27 for 197. He lost a fumble. By the way, do you know the Eagles defense is last in pressure rate since their bye and last in third down defense? They can't get anybody off the field.
Yeah.
Seattle, Drew Lock was pretty good yesterday, 22 of 31 for 269, two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked four times, but they gave up 527 total yards to the Niners. I'll say the Eagles by four on the road.
3.5 right now is what we're looking at, which is kind of interesting. I'm interested to see where that line moves throughout the week.
All right, so it's not a week I love. It's not a week I hate. It's somewhere in between, but I do like the Falcons. I think I like the Bills, not as much as the Falcons, but the Falcons is the one that clearly jumps off the page.
Yeah.
And I think Green Bay, to me, assuming no injury tonight, sort of jumps off the page hosting Tampa Bay.
Now, considering how good they've looked the past 2 weeks, Green Bay, do you need to see them crush the Giants tonight or any kind of win you think?
No, I just need to see Jordan Love be as good as he's been. They win by 10 and he looks great. I'm good with it.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's a road primetime game. I don't expect them to win by 20. But I do want them to cover in millions for me.
Yeah. I mean, they've looked so good the past 2 weeks. I think I'm expecting some kind of regression at some point. But, like, man, I don't know. Maybe they're just this team that took this long to get this hot.
And good luck to the seven survivors who have the Packers tonight and the one who has the Dolphins. Again, we'll finish the show where we started, which is there are 21 entries left in Survivor, 8 pending tonight. Wait, how does that make sense? 8 pending tonight? Maybe I have the math wrong. There's 7 Packers, there's 1 Dolphins.
That's 8.
That's 8.
I got that part.
Right, but also the Lions lost. So there's 21 currently. Okay, there's 21 currently, but 8 pending tonight. That's right. 21 currently, but 8 pending tonight. So either 21 get through, anywhere between 13 to 21 get through tonight. Right now with 21 left, each remaining entry, $441,285.71. Oh boy. You know what I'd like to do this week? I'd like to get Joe Pita in here to talk Survivor and how... really, in terms of his hedging theory, but also, like, when we talk about optimal picks, this is from a Wall Street guy who has been in many a Survivor contest. What was the way to play this week? Because one could argue that the way to play it was to take one of the games tonight so that you would have had perfect information in terms of thinking of a hedge, right? So everybody right, else yeah. would have had, you know, there's thing play out. Imagine if there was only a handful of entries left, but 7 people ended up with the Packers. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that came into their thinking, right?
Right. If I'm thinking that, maybe others are thinking that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of that. There's a lot of Princess Bride in there. You think that I'm going to drink this? You know that I think that. And yeah, there's a lot of that. Or people just don't think of these things at all. And they just are like, no, I'm going to take this team. Good luck to everybody. Adam Burke, congratulations. VSiN's own. He's already through. I don't know about our guy Jonesy. I got to figure out about that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.